Hello, everyone. This is Clarissa Bell, and welcome to the teleclass today. And today we are going to be discussing the topic of self-esteem and self-love. And, of course, then we'll be going into the science of the cards, and I'll be doing readings for anyone who's on the line who would like a reading. But first, let's start off, as always, with a prayer. So if you can, close your eyes and just become aware of your breathing and take in these words. We ask for support in consciousness in assisting us in awakening and opening our hearts and inspiring and empowering us to experience the truth about ourselves. We ask for support in feeling our connection with the essence of everyone and everything in the universe at all times, so that we can truly know and feel we are one. And so it is. Yes. Okay. So today's topic is self-esteem and self-love. Okay. So what is self-esteem? Well, it's in the word esteem. Self-esteem is our estimation or evaluation of ourselves. It is our sense of value, of worthiness as a person. And you could say that value determines love, okay? So when we believe we are valuable, we love ourselves. When we perceive ourselves to be less than valuable, we love ourselves less. So value determines how we're actually loving ourselves. And self-esteem and self-love are actually the same. The way we are esteeming ourselves is how we're loving ourselves. So self-esteem and self-love are the same. Okay, well, what's love? Love is happiness. Okay, so just remember a time, you know, just to show this, just remember a time when you were, quote, in love and feel how happy you were, okay? Just feel that, you know, when you're in love, this love, you are happy. So love is happiness, okay? But our prime love, however, is not for another. It's really our love for ourselves. It's self-love. It's and so self-love, you could say, is our sense of happiness. Self-love is the primary, most important love. Thus, self-love, which is how we're esteeming ourselves, self-esteem is happiness, okay? So we want to be happy. We really, our mission in life is to really love ourselves. So because self-love is the essence of all happiness, and the essence of happiness is self-love, okay, which is our estimation of ourselves, which is our self-esteem. So but where does this esteem and love for self originate? How does this come about? Well, it originates in our sense of power, our feeling of being able to produce whatever we want to produce whatever we desire in life, okay? It originates in our belief about ourselves, whether or not we are competent and able and capable to meet and handle the challenges of life. When we can, we are powerful. We feel powerful. When we can't, we feel like a failure, and we feel we have no power. Our sense of power depends on our sense of wisdom, though. Okay, it's an antecedent to power. Wisdom is an antecedent to power because knowledge is power. Okay, and actually, in turn, the creation of good and bad, which I've discussed in a number of classes, depends on our power. Because subconsciously, where we go with this is that when we can, we are powerful. And when we evaluate, and we evaluate that as being a good thing, we evaluate that as good. When we can't, you know, we evaluate not being able to as bad, okay? We esteem or we love that which is good, and we disesteem or hate, which is another word for hate I'm going to use here is anti-love. So we anti-love that which we think is bad or that which we've decided is bad, okay? So power, you could say, is like the main source of all self-esteem, okay? Again, when we feel able, our self-evaluation or self-esteem is high. When we feel unable and incompetent to handle life, our self-esteem is low, But power, as I said before, has an antecedent, something that precedes it, which is wisdom. And wisdom includes education, knowledge, intelligence, reason, logic, intuition, creativity. But most importantly, it is the ability to be able to foresee the consequences of our actions. So wisdom actually guides power, because without wisdom, power will eventually destroy and become anti-power, okay? And you can see, you know, lots of examples of this, you know, in our world. You know, dictators, for instance, it always ends up destroying. You could take Hitler, for instance. He had total power in some sense, and he wanted total power. He demanded total power. He got it, and because it wasn't really guided by wisdom, it was a destructive force all across the globe, okay? So wisdom actually guides power, okay? Wisdom determines our power in life, and it's an essential element of power. So you could say when you think of power, also think of wisdom as an element of that power, okay? So, and because power is such an essential element of self-esteem, so wisdom and power are essential elements of self-esteem. And there's a causal sequence to our self-esteem, which is how we're loving ourselves, and it goes like this. Wisdom determines power, how we're using our power, determines how we are valuing ourselves or estimating ourselves, which determines then how we're actually loving ourselves, which results in whether we're happy or not, okay? So wisdom determines power. Power determines our worth or value. Worth determines our lovability, and love equals happiness, okay? So wisdom, which is education and knowledge, as I said before, leads to power, which is the I am, I'm capable, I can, I'm a success, which leads to how we value ourselves. I am valuable, I am worthy, I am wonderful. And from that, we love ourselves. I love me because I am knowledgeable, I'm powerful, I'm able, I'm valuable, I'm worthy, and I love myself, and then I'm happy, okay? That's how self-esteem is generated within us. And since wisdom and power are essential elements of our self-esteem, low self-esteem, you could say, is a result of anti-wisdom and anti-power identities. And we've talked about identity. So an example might be of how this may flow along in this sequence, as I discussed just a minute ago. I'm ignorant and stupid, and therefore I can't do it. So anti-wisdom, I'm ignorant and I'm stupid, and I can't do it, anti-power. And I'm not good enough, anti-value, I'm not good enough. I'm evaluating myself based on my wisdom and my power, and since it's low, I'm not good enough, and I even compare myself to others, and I'm less than those who can, okay? And then we subconsciously assign that, you know, this low value or worth to ourselves, and we enter into hating ourselves about it. We enter into anti-love or hate towards ourselves, okay? And this anti-love towards self is really our negative self-esteem, and it's really the cause of our pain, okay? So our self-esteem, which is self-love, results from our self-worth, which results from our experience of power, our power, which results from our wisdom. And these, remember, are essence identities. Wisdom, power, and value are essence identities. And so our self-esteem is really determined by our identities. The positive identities really determine the positive self-esteem, and the negative identities sort of result in low self-esteem. So high self-esteem, if we're using these identities, results naturally when we are operating in positive identities of power and value. I can, I am able, I am strong, I am worthy, I'm valuable, I'm important. These are all positive essence identities, and positive esteem, high esteem, results from these positive essence identities. And we love ourselves when we're in these positive essence identities, and we love others, and all is well in our world. We're not triggered by outside events because we're centered. When you're centered in an identity of I can, I have the power to handle whatever comes along, I have the wisdom and the power to handle whatever comes along, then you're happy, and you love yourselves as a result of being in the center of this belief about yourself, okay? And it allows us to then love others because unless we can really love ourselves, we really don't have access to love others. And then counter to that, negative self-esteem is the result of negative identity essences, okay, the anti-wisdom, the anti-power, and they produce, if you in the chain, then anti-value, which then activates the anti-love, which is, again, negative self-esteem. So when we're in that state of these negative identities, which are resulting in all these anti-wisdom, anti-power, anti-value identities, I mean, yes, then when we're in that state, we're suffering. And not only are we suffering ourselves, but we actually are in anti-love to others, okay? Because as I said before, to love others, we must first love ourselves. We can't give to others what we don't really have. And so we can only love others to the degree that we're loving ourselves. And this is how we are actually loving or anti-loving ourselves, is through these essence identities, okay? So in summary, the ultimate motivation of all human behavior is one's own happiness. We covered that last week, okay? But love is happiness. When we feel love for ourselves, we feel happy. So we could say the only motivation of all human behavior really is love. It's love. The primary love is love for self. It's self-love. And the most important thing we must do in life is to love ourselves. And self-love and self-esteem are the same. And the causal sequence of self-esteem is wisdom, power, value. And then after value, somewhere in there, we go into this creation of good, whether it's good or bad. And then we love or hate ourselves based on whether we believe it's good or bad. And then that leads to either happiness or unhappiness, okay? But for our purposes, we want to grow in these identities. So it's more wisdom, more power, more value. It results in loving ourselves, which is happiness, okay? And so, but most of us as human beings, we've come in to counter create our essences. And so we need to grow into increase our wisdom, power, value, and love, joy. And in order to love ourselves, we must grow in wisdom, in power, and in value. And these things determine our self-worth and how we are loving ourselves. So it determines our self-love. And the first step in doing this is to go about growing and increasing our wisdom, power, and value is to transcend the creation of bad to self. And I discussed this in one of the other classes, and one way to do that is to, instead of evaluating ourselves on the scale of good and bad, we learn to come into evaluating ourselves and life and things in life on the scale of negative and positive, whether something is negative or whether it's positive. And negative in the sense that it's not benefiting us at this time and it's not moving us in the direction that we want. But bad is, we resist bad, and it just sticks our creations. So we want to get into the habit of learning to evaluate based on negative and positive and whether or not something is loving or anti-loving, okay? And so that's the first step, is this to transcend this creation of good and bad and instead evaluate a negative and positive and love and anti-love. And then, and just doing that, you'll go a long way towards increasing your self-esteem. But then after that, then you begin discreating these anti-wisdom and power and value identities. You want to discreate the negative essence identities of wisdom, power, and value. And this becomes a way of life. We have been energizing these negative identities for many, many, many years, and if you believe in past lives, which I do, many lifetimes, actually. So you can imagine, you know, the amount of power that has been placed in keeping these identities in place. So discreating is a step-by-step process. It actually becomes a way of life, and you learn how to actually, what's called flow, the energy to flow energy out of these negative essence identities and to flow energy into positive essence identities. But that's a more advanced technique. But that's basically what you begin to learn to do. And it just becomes a way of life, and you become just as comfortable with the negative energies as you do the positive energies, which really allows for a fast discreation and a fast transformation of these negative identities. But so when we're first starting off, we have to really be gentle and kind with ourselves and give ourselves the space and the time to learn how to master being with this level of energy and do it, taking it step by step. And through this process, we learn how to actually become just as comfortable with the negative as the positive, and this allows us to begin to discreate at a much faster rate. So that is the topic for today, self-love and self-esteem. And I think next week I'm going to go into some ways that we can actually begin to discreate these negative identities, some ways that you can begin to concretely begin to practice this. So we won't go into advanced things, but we'll go into some more simple ways you can at least begin to start, because I think once you get this information and you know this information, it's important to really just begin where you are. Okay, so that is the topic for today. And now I will go into cardiology. Today is Today is September 7th, 2010. And today, if you were born today, your birth card is a four of diamonds. My brother has a four of diamonds planetary ruling card. And your planetary ruling card would be a two of spades. And as I said, this is a Virgo, so this would be someone who is just very, very grounded and very organized, because a four is a very grounded number. They're very organized, they're very grounded. But a four of diamonds is the card of protection and finances, because diamonds deal with values and money and finances, okay? So the four of diamonds, so it's a card of protection and finances. However, the four of diamonds has a really interesting kind of life path and an interesting kind of karma that they came in here, because even though it's the card of protection and finances, someone who is the four of diamonds would actually only be able to access, you know, a large amount of money through hard work. Okay, they must put forth an effort to really reap the rewards, you know, of this card. Okay, and if they try to like just get things easily, it will always usually end in frustration and failure, okay? But they do come in with a very good business sense, and they have great organizational abilities. They can manage and organize a business successfully. They know that maintaining an order and a structure in life and being clear about what's important to them will always bring them some success and satisfaction, okay? So, but and in the area of relationships, I think this is their most challenging area, because they have a high ideal concerning love, okay? And this high ideal can often cause some confusion in their real-life romantic situations, okay? And this is because, one of the reasons why this is the case is because in the life spread, their card is in the Neptune-Venus position, and that those are the two sort of romance planets. And so they have this kind of lofty ideal about love, you know, and they want this perfect love. But in the spiritual spread, their card sits in the Saturn-Venus position. And this can actually tend to take the joy and pleasure out of love, and it actually can cause them, and it may have caused them to have difficulty in relationships at an early age. So this kind of, you know, they have this juxtaposition of they have this desire for this, you know, romantic, idealistic love, but that's not the way their life actually ends up unfolding, okay? And in addition to that, they have a Queen of Hearts in Saturn, and the Queen of Hearts is sensuality, pleasure, sexuality, and Saturn restricts. So this Queen of Hearts further emphasizes this kind of challenge that they're going to have in relationships. And what they really need to do is they must abandon this idealistic approach to love and instead be able to really become more grounded and really see what's really going on in their personal relationships. And they must learn to take responsibility and not blame the other person for what happens. They must approach love with the willingness to work on it. You know, like there's no, like, complete ideal person out there. And that's what they can get into this kind of belief, and then they can just kind of really keep seeking for that. But they have to really be able to let go of this idealistic approach and really be willing to be responsible for their part of it and to really work on it, okay? So that would be their most difficult challenge. But also this card is interesting because four is like a real sort of solid card, but they have two fives as karma cards. And fives are restless. They love to travel. They like to explore. It's change. So they have these two fives as karma cards. So on the outside, you know, they're this very solid, you know, person. But on the inside, they have this inner restlessness, you know. And sometimes it could lead to just like dissatisfaction, you know, in life, okay. So they have to, like, contend with that as well. But if this card can really know that if they just work hard, put one foot in front of the other, and once they get into to the habit of working hard and just not trying to get something for nothing, everything will tend to smooth out, and they will really be successful. And the last years of their lives after they've learned all this are really more happy ones, and they'll really be able to do the traveling and have the freedom that they really want to do as indicated by those two fives as karma cards. Okay, so that's someone who would be born today. And a two of spades ruling card would just add actually, like, I mean, so you've got this solid card that's a four, then you got this two, which is the number of logic, and it's in Virgo, which is already a very systematic, organized card. So this would be a very, very logical, organized person. But what a two does is it lends partnership and friendship. A two of spades is the card of partnership and friendship, and any two really is gonna, well, partnerships and working with others or being with others is gonna be important for them. But two is also known as the fear cards. The twos are the fear cards. And twos can fear being alone. Like I said, they like to be in partnership one way or another. And so sometimes they'll go out of their way just to be in the company of others, even, you know, if it's not quite the most beneficial friendships for them, okay? And then also, too, the two of spades has a six of spades karma card. And so some of their life will be fated because six is the biggest card of karma and fate. So they'll experience fated events in their lives. And also with the six of spades, they really have to make sure they watch their health habits. Six is about being in balance, and spades is health. And any way that they're out of balance, you know, it will come upon them really heavily. So they really do need to, you know, make sure that that health is something that they're paying attention to. And the six also gives them a strong gift for intuition. But the thing is, so they have this gift. It's an innate gift with the karma card. But they actually have to develop it, like a sincere interest in the spiritual side in order for them to really gain access to that intuition. And that might be a little bit hard because spades is the suit of work, and they tend to ignore, like, going within in favor of strong work and career interests. And then you add the two, which is the logical mind. It keeps them in the mind, doesn't help them much in being able to go into their intuition, and also doesn't help in personal relationships when they're in their mind so much, okay? But if they turn to spirituality, they can be very progressive, very dynamic, and very instrumental in shaping the world as a whole in harmony and cooperation, because that's really what this card is about. This card is like the brotherhood of man. It's cooperation, it's harmony, and it's the card of the new age and the card of brotherly love. So if they ever do go within, they will really be able to contribute to the evolution of brotherly love in mankind. So that's something about someone who was born today. Very interesting life path to live. Very interesting. Okay, so I'm just going to give a little brief intro into cardology. Again, as I said, it's a representation of our Earth's calendar. The 52 cards correspond to the 52 days of the week. The four suits correspond to the four seasons in our year. The 13 cards in each suit correspond to the 13 lunar cycles in 1 year. And if you add up the numerical value of each card plus the Joker, it totals 365 and a quarter days. The Joker's numerical value is one and a quarter. And so you can see how you didn't, you know, it seems so funny that our common deck of playing cards was really created to represent our Earth's calendar. I mean, most people don't know that. That's what's so interesting about this system. And I wanted to say that I'm not using any kind of physical cards in front of me. When I'm reading people's spreads, this has all been calculated mathematically through a process called quadration. And the spreads are already determined. So it's determined, like I said, through a process of quadration. And then the spreads are derived from this process of quadration. And the spreads are already calculated. And so it's already set, okay? And now each person will use the energies differently in context to what's going on in their own particular personal life. But I just wanted people to know that I'm not actually using cards. I'm actually looking at spreads that have already been derived. And the way it worked is that it's sort of put the cards are sort of put into places, and then the spreads are read for each of the cards for every year. And it's really, kind of complicated to just describe in this class, but just know that it's sort of an ancient, esoteric kind of mathematical science to it, okay? So, but I'm actually reading from spreads that have already been calculated for each person, I mean for each card, for each year. So when I'm reading people's spreads, that's what I'll be reading. And if people want to really see this, they can just get a book by Robert Lee Camp called Cards of Your Destiny. And you can actually learn how to use this system actually very easily. It's not very hard at all. It's actually the most simplest system that I've found out there. And this book will take you through everything. And this book also in the back, it lists all of the spreads for each of the 52 cards from age 0, which is when you're born, to 100, okay? And actually after 45, they kind of repeat, like the spreads repeat, except for the long-range card is different. So, but anyway, you can for 100 years, you can see what your spreads are, and you can even go back and look at, you know, what's happened in your past. That's a good way to actually verify whether or not this system is accurate or not. You can take this book. You can go back in your past. You can look at a year when you remember that something really big happened to you, or it doesn't have to be big, but if you remember some events that happened, and you can go back and you can look at the time. It has the time frame and see what energies were present, and you can actually really see the accuracy of the system, and it'll help you learn the system too. So if you really have any interest in going deeper into the system and learning about this system, or if you just want to learn for yourself, I highly recommend you get The Cards of Your Destiny by Robert Lee Camp. And also, when you have that, and when I'm doing readings, you can actually follow along with me and look in the back of the books and look at the spreads and the years that I'm reading for, and that's the way that you can actually begin to learn it, too, from someone who's speaking it. I mean, there are interpretations for all of the placements and the cards in the book. It really is a comprehensive book, and like I said, it's really not that hard to learn. It may look complicated because when you get the book, it looks like, wow, you know, but really don't let that put you off, okay? All right, so, and I also wanted to say that I'm also offering free reports. I mean, not free reports. I do have one free report on there, so you can see an example of what a free relationship report looks like, but I'm offering relationship reports, relatively inexpensive. The most expensive one is $19.95, and if you order more than one, you get $5 off of each one that you order after that. And there are three different types of relationship reports. There's the intimate, you know, like for lovers or married people, and there's friends and family, and there's business. You can see, you know, how your energies match if you want to go into business with someone. Okay, and so so just go to my website and go to the cardiology page, and you can see a list of those reports that are available. And the reports would be emailed to you in a PDF format. And like I said, there is an example that you can just download right there on the site so you can have an idea of what it will look like. Okay, so I think what I'm going to do is see if there's anyone on the call who would like a reading. Hello? Hi, is anyone there who would like a reading? Hello? Okay, so I can either tell you some more about the cards, or if someone has a question, I'd be happy to answer it. Okay, so I think what I will do then is I will talk a little bit about the card some more. Okay, so I think one of the times last time I went over the numbers of the cards. I went from the ace to the king, and I said if you were any of those, I did a brief description of that. And so I think what I will do now is I'll do a brief description of the suits, if your suit is a certain thing, what that means. Okay. So if your heart, if your card is a heart card, then you're very relationship-oriented, okay? And so relationships and people in your life are extremely important to you, okay? And this is the arena where you'll really learn. I mean, it's like you're oriented to learn in the arena of relationships, okay? And hearts also love, they love children, and they like to retain their youthfulness, you know, even in old age. So you could basically say they're children at heart, and they're also very expressive. And you'll find a lot of artists and a lot of musicians who have prominent heart cards, okay? Either a birth card that's a heart or a planetary ruling card that's a heart. You'll see a lot of these people, artists and musicians, and they love children. Okay. And
conference muted.
If you're a club, your life is about knowledge and communication and sharing ideas. You love to learn, and you'd be a great, great teacher, okay? You're big on details and concepts, okay? You know that thoughts are things. So clubs is really about the mental area of life, and it's communication, and it's ideas, and it's learning, and it's education, okay? And so what clubs do is they like to overcome their emotional problems through the application of a truth that they find. Like they will search for a truth and then they'll use that truth and to actually move them forward in life. So a diamond, see, if your birth card's a diamond or if your planetary ruling card's a diamond, you're here to really learn about values and money. What do you value? You want to know what everything is worth, okay? You're interested in and usually good at business and financial matters, and you have this innate sense of how to actually do business. But sometimes just because you are a diamond doesn't mean that you actually are necessarily great with money. Because I mean, sometimes diamond people can actually spend beyond their means, but they're usually really pretty good with other people's money, especially eight of diamonds. Okay. So you're here to learn about value and money. That's what you're always thinking about. What's the value of this? What is this worth? And not necessarily just with money, but what's it worth in terms into you? Like what is the value of it? What is it going to, how is it going to bring value to your life? Okay. So, and if it's valuable to you, if it's worth it to you, if it's valuable, then you'll do it. But it has to sort of like be, there has to be some value in it. Otherwise, you're really not interested. Okay, and spades is the last suit. And spades deals with work and health. And actually, if there's a spade who's kind of matured to this level, it can, in many cases, it can also be about spirituality, okay? Spades are the workers, you know. They're hard workers. But they can, like, go overboard because they can a lot of times put their career and work before the spirituality. That's why I say sometimes when they get to a place of learning how to have balance in their life and they come to a place of maturity, they then begin to actually sort of delve into the spiritual world, okay? So, and I think that's really, you know, part of what spades are here to do is to learn how to balance sort of the working career with their spirituality, okay? But like I said, it's the last suit. And you would say spades are like would represent people who would be powerful and wise, and they would relate well to older people. It's like they come in sort of kind of with some kind of wisdom and as if they're old, you know, not old in terms of about to go, but in terms of a level of maturity. So that is about the suits. And let's see. And I think I'll go over the numbers again. So if you're ace, you're a leader and an initiator. You just got here, and you're eager and ready to go, and ready to create and to do things and learn new things. And you have a strong passion for those things represented by your suit. And now with aces, you can also be a loner and impatient. A two, as I said before, earlier, is relationship-oriented, okay? So relationships will be very important to them. And relationships, cooperation, working with others is essential to their soul, what they came here to do to their soul pattern. They need partners, and they need relationships to help them feel complete and balanced. Three are extremely creative people, extremely creative, and they love self-expression. They dislike anything that's routine, and they need a certain amount of variety, okay? They express themselves best. You know, they'll express this creativity best in whatever suit they're born under. But with all this creativity, they can also be indecisive at times because they can have so many different choices, and they may have a hard time deciding, and they get bored easily because they're so extremely creative. They need that kind of variety to keep them sort of interested. Now, four, on the other hand, is more solid and more grounded. And you can see from the even number cards, I would actually say, quote, more stable. I'm not saying it's better or worse, but the even cards would be more stable than the odd cards, just because the odd cards are more exploratory in nature. So a four, you're solid and grounded. You have a certain amount of satisfaction in your life, based on this sort of groundedness and this sort of organizational solid value sort of capacity. So you're very strong, but this also can make you sometimes very stubborn and very fixed, and it may be hard for you to even take in something new because you have a way that you go about things, and if it works for you, you stick with it, okay? So that's a four. Five is the most restless number. It's change. They love change. They love exploring. They love traveling, and because of this, they can have trouble sinking their roots and making commitments because they like to be on the go. Okay, they want to experience everything that life has to offer. Okay, especially that which is related to their suit. Okay, so a six would be stability. They like things to basically stay the same. It's like balance, you know, karma balance. They want things to stay the same. They're not easily swayed or moved. You know, they're like they can get stuck in a rut, though. And they're either very responsible or learning about responsibility as it relates to their suit. Okay, you know, it's that karma number, you know, learning fairness and balance and being responsible. And they and so this kind of gives them a sense of that they know the law, okay. You know, what you give is what you get, karma. And it's strange, the number six, I mean, they can be peacemakers because, you know, they're looking to what's fair and what's balanced, but it also makes them very, very competitive. I think it's because of this fairness issue. So they want things to be fair, and so they really do have a competitive streak. Okay. Seven is a spiritual number, and so this person would really come in here to really enhance their spirituality, okay? And they would get more from giving to others than receiving, actually. That would actually bring them more joy. But seven is the first spiritual number. There are two. And it's the number where they straddle the mundane and the spiritual world. So they have these tremendous gifts of being able to tap into the spiritual world, especially as it pertains to their suit. Like a seven of clubs would be able to really tap into an enlightened mind, a seven of hearts, enlightened love or spiritual love. Seven of spades is spiritual faith. And a seven of diamonds would be prosperity, okay? So they have this ability to tap in that, but they can go back and forth between that and the material problems. And so their goal in life is really to sort of enhance their spiritual side more in whatever suit that they're in, okay? But they really bring inspired, because they have this gift of access, and they can bring inspired works of arts and comedy, like Robin Williams, the seven of clubs, and he's just, you know, he can be out there, but he brings back some brilliant things. So that's a seven. An eight is a person of power, especially in whatever suit they're in. They know they have this power. So they know they innately, they know, they come in with this sense that they do have this power, okay? Now, the thing with eight is that they'll always be challenged, probably really much, you know, early until they kind of learn this lesson. They'll be challenged to be able to use this power wisely. Okay, remember in the class we talked about wisdom, you know, without wisdom, you know, power destroys. And so that is really sort of the path of the eight, is to take this power and learn to use it wisely, to know what the consequences of their actions will be before they take it. And so it's really being responsible for the power, okay, because that's what's going to actually be able to create more joy and more love in the world and in their own lives, okay? So they have to be careful not to bully others and just to get their way, but to really think, you know, before they use their power, and to really think how best to use it that would really support themselves and other people and evolving and expanding in life. So nine is the other spiritual number. Nine would be more someone who will come here to give universally. But they also, nine is about, in their personal life, it's about them. They've come here to let go of something, okay? And usually it's something pertaining to their soup. They've come here to let go of some things. It's a completion number. They're coming to a completion, like a graduation. And they're here to just sort of complete any of the last things that they're maybe holding on to in life. So they're here to really come here to complete, but in their personal life. But universally, they can be most fulfilled when they are giving in a big way. So if they can really discover what they've come here to give, what their gifts and talents are, what mission they have, and give in that way, that would actually bring them great fulfillment. Okay, and 10 is someone who is also a person of power, a lot of power, but it's power in a big way. It's power on a big scale. Like a 10 of hearts would be someone who's very creative, but the 10 would be taking that creativity to a high level, like to audiences or to the world or something like that. 10 of clubs, teaching in a big way, okay, reaching more than one person. So a 10 is, you know, a person who has a lot of power, and they can accomplish a lot, but they can tend to overdo, because this 10 it enlarges everything it touches, okay? And they're very ambitious, because a 10 is also an ace, and they can be loners and such, but they have the capacity to really do things in a big way. A jack is the first royal suit, so they have, like, sort of the gifts of royalty, but they don't have a lot of the responsibility that a queen or a king would have. But jacks are very, 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 very resourceful. They can really figure out how to utilize, you know, all their skills to to create things and how to shift situations. And they're also, like, very playful, and they have a very youthful kind of disposition about them. And they're very smart, and like I said, they like to play. But this can also, they can also seem like they can be a little immature or tricky because of this sort of playful, youthful attitude, and because they don't have the same responsibility as the queen or the king, but they have a lot of the sort of power and ability. And so, like I said, they're resourceful, but it can also seem like, you know, they may be sort of immature too. And I think that with Jax, I mean, I think that at some point they've come here to actually move into, like, say, the position of a queen or a king. But very interesting people, Jax. A queen is a master. Queen and kings are masters of their suit. They just master or lead in different ways. A queen will really nurture. A queen is more of the motherly, nurturing type. And a queen is here to really serve the people that she served in whatever form, you know, the suit requires and in whichever form is unique to her. But she's here to really be of service. But she does it in such a masterful way. She knows how to actually guide others and in a very nurturing, service-oriented way. A king is just like a leader. He's like the leader. Both a queen as well, but a king really has to be willing to step into his or her power, okay? And you'll find there are people who are kings and who don't even realize how much power they have, and just, you know, all they need to know is, oh, well, you know, you're really a king. You really have a lot of power. And then they hear that and they go, oh. And if they're willing to step into that, which means being willing to be responsible for the decisions they make, because when you're a leader, you're leading people, you know, you have to be willing to be responsible for your, you know, decisions, and that requires a combination of power and wisdom, as we talked about earlier in the class. So a lot of people know they're kings and know they have the power and just don't choose to step into it because they don't want the responsibility. So, but if when a king is willing to step into that, wow, I mean, you know, that's great for our evolution, because when someone is willing to use their gifts and talents and their wisdom and their power to create and to expand and to bring more joy, more love, more life, more creativity to the planet, well, we all benefit. So that is the little lesson on the suits and the numbers, and I'm going to see if there's anyone who wants a reading. Hello? Hello? Does anyone want a reading? Oh, don't be shy. I know there are people on the line. Okay, really? Really? No takers. Okay. Well, I think what I am going to do then is I'm going to talk about I'm going to talk a little bit about the 7-year spread. Okay. So I have mentioned to people that that I've said that when people ask me a question, I'm looking in their spreads and I'm looking to see in their yearly spread mostly. I mean, I think sometimes I have mentioned the 7-year spreads, but I'm looking mostly in their yearly spreads, and the yearly spreads go from birthday to birthday. So if you're born in April, your new year starts in April, and the spread starts from April and ends at the following April, and then it goes into another spread. But this system has cycles within cycles. There's a 13-year cycle where the cards in the life path follow, and then there are 7-year cycles, and then there are yearly cycles. So these yearly cycles are within the 7-year cycle. So every 7 years, you actually go into a new cycle, okay? And so, and that's it's a very important change when you move from one 7-year cycle to another 7-year cycle. And you would read the 7-year cycle just as you would read the yearly cycle, except that the 7-year cycle covers a period of 7 years. So say, like right now, I'm 50, and my seven-year cycle that I am in started at age 49. So it started a year ago when I, a year and a half ago when I turned 49, I went into a new seven-year cycle. Okay, and then and so the first year was the first year of that seven-year cycle. That was age 49. And now I'm 50, so now I'm in the second year of that that 7 year cycle. And these the cards for these years are actually our long range cards for the each separate year. But anyway, that's more complicated. But the thing is, you would read. There's a way to find out what your 7 year cycle is in this book that I was telling you about. And when you read the 7 year cycle, you want to, instead of thinking about it, oh, this is what's going to happen over this 1 year, you want to look at it and see, oh, this is what's going to happen over the course of 7 years. And because the timing is much slower, the seven-year cards are actually, they're in effect much longer, and they're more powerful. So just so you know that, like the seven-year cards are in effect for a seven-year period, and or at least the 7 year cycle cards are in effect for the 7 year period. And so it's almost as if they're, like I said, they're cycles within cycles, and it's as if the energies are sort of, they're energies within energies, okay? And so you could say these energies are really sort of more powerful in that they're stronger, and that because they're longer lasting, okay? And they're covering a longer period of time, okay? So another thing that you could do, and you can find out how to do this in this book, is to learn how to look up your seven-year spreads, and that will give you some additional information, okay, for what's going on with you. And you may be moving from a different spread every year, but you know that for a period of 7 years, you're going to have certain cards that are going to be in effect for the whole year, and it really so it just adds a deeper dimension and just gives you more information about, you know, what may be happening. And sometimes there may be something happening, and you may not see it in the yearly spread, but it shows up in the seven-year cycle spread, okay? And for instance, in one of my my seven-year spreads, let's see, which one do I want to do? Let's see. Well, it's interesting because I have a Ten of Hearts long range in my Eight of Diamonds. I'm at birth Eight of Diamonds birth card. I have a Ten of Hearts long range card. So for the whole 7 years. So that means over the next 7 years, a Ten of Hearts, the energy of a Ten of Hearts is going to be present. It's going to be a focus for me for the next 7 years. Or I guess I have 5.5 years left of this focus. And Ten of Hearts would be audiences. It's putting your work out to audiences. And it so happens that I started doing this teleclass as one, that's an example of putting work out and trying to reach a broader number of people, okay? So that would just be, this is just one interpretation of this Ten of Hearts. And in context to me and to my life, that's indeed what is happening in my life, okay? So that is one thing. And it's interesting because in my Ten of Spades planetary ruling card, I have the same card, Ten of Hearts, as my environment card. And an environment card is where we will receive blessings and benefits. So I have the Ten of Hearts, you know, as a focus, and then in my other spread I have it as a blessing and a benefit. So I know that when I try to reach audiences or to go out that it would be a good thing for me to do, that this would be a really good time for me to, this period would be a really good time to really put myself out there and to reach audiences. So this is just an example of how you can read, learn how to get more information and read from your 7 year cycle. And of course, you know, I will be studying these the energies of these cards myself, and it'll be interesting to see what happens at the end of the 7-year cycle. Just like after every year, it's interesting for me to go back and sort of see what happened after that year, and it helps me to really have a deeper grasp of the energies of the cards. And you can do the same thing, too. You can look at these spreads, and you can learn from what actually is happening in your life, and it's a way to really, really get good and proficient at the system to the point where you'll be giving people in your life readings. And people love it. You know, people love to kind of find out about themselves and know about themselves. And it actually helps us to understand other people. And it makes us more able to give space to people when we understand sort of what their makeup is, and we understand what they're doing here, and we understand some of their challenges that they've come in here with. It really allows us to really be more loving and to give space to others. And as to tie it back into the talk earlier about self-love and self-esteem, when we really remember wisdom was the first necessary ingredient in this causal sequence of self-esteem. When we're wise, we feel powerful, and when we're powerful, we value ourselves, and then we love ourselves. Well, this system is a way to gain some kind of knowledge, so it's part of the wisdom family, about ourselves and about, you know, our sort of path that we've come here to live. And so it's sort of a beginning of love, really, of loving oneself. And so when you have this knowledge, is power, and not only for yourself and for others. And so I say that, you know, this system really helps us to know ourselves better, more, and which increases our, like I said, wisdom, which increases our power, which adds to our, you know, valuing ourselves, which in the end adds to more love towards ourselves. So, and then more love towards others, because when we learn to love ourselves, we learn the beginning of love is really space, is giving ourselves space. And when we're able to do that, we're able to do that for other people. So, okay, so I believe this is going to end today's class, and I hope that you and everyone who will be listening to this afterwards will gain knowledge and wisdom from this class, and wisdom from my experiences, and wisdom from this information that I'm teaching. And unless there's anyone on the line that wants to say hello.
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 Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hey. Well, any questions of you two?
I really love the overview that you've given. And, you know, the one question you're talking about wisdom and kind of pulling this all together is, I understand that the cards represent a possibility. The energies create a possibility for one's life. So they're there waiting for us. But we do have to activate those energies. We have to go into action around that. Now, is there any card in the deck that would indicate that this person has all these possibilities and these energies are waiting, but it's going to really be a challenge for them to activate this and to step into their king, their queen, or their full potential?
Yes, the cards that show that are the cards that usually end up that are in the Saturn period, because the Saturn period really shows what may be a challenge for us to learn. It's either going to be some way in which we're going to experience it as a setback, or as a delay, or as an obstacle. But more than not, when you learn how to use Saturn, it's really about learning something important that you've come here to learn, that you need to learn in order to move to your next step. Okay?
Hey.
And there are certain cards that indicate more challenge than others. Like I talked about the numbers earlier, like the odd number cards would present more challenges than the even number cards. Okay, and so you have, there's certain cards that are overcoming cards, like the fours, the eights, and the tens are all cards of overcoming something. So you could have, there's usually a card, and there's usually two cards in each period. So you could have, like, say, a seven, which is a very challenging card to have because it's the spiritual card. And see, with the seven, you have to go to the spiritual side, but let's face it, most people don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't go to the spiritual side, you will experience the material challenge very harshly. But if you see a seven and you go, oh, okay, seven, that means I have to really, there's a spiritual solution to this. That means I have to go to the spiritual side. And so then you know that, and then you navigate your life to, like, when there's a, when that, whatever that challenge is, you go, okay, you're prepared. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it, and even though if you had, like, a seven and then you had, like, a four or an eight or a ten, you know, you just know that whatever happens, you're gonna, it's going to end up being really good. Because that car, it's going to override in some sense. I mean, you still have to go through it, but in the end, it's really going to not be as difficult if you just apply yourself just a little bit. And so, I mean, so, you know, I'd say a 7 and a 9 are the most challenging numbers to have. And then if you have them in Saturn, that's a real challenge. You really need to pay attention to something then. And it's usually something we've been avoiding or not really paying attention to that's been trying to get our attention, and we've ignored it. And Saturn, it's like it's going to make you pay attention, because if you don't pay attention, it's got, something startling is going to happen to make you pay attention. But if you've
right.
already been paying attention, it's not going to be that bad, because
got
you've
it.
Already really navigated it.
Yes.
And like a seven of spades would really indicate you have to have faith in whatever you're doing. So there are certain cards where you see, you know, okay, every time if I see a seven, it's either a health challenge, but usually when it comes to into your question of taking action, if there's something you know you're to take action on, like say if you're displacing the seven of spades, which is a year-long card,
mm-hmm.
it could either be you need to pay attention to your health and or it's probably some of both, or you need to have faith in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you have some project you know you're supposed to do and you're not doing, it's like you're going to have to step out on faith, and you have to do it as if it's already there, like the support, because it won't show up. You won't see it. That's what faith is all about. If you saw it, if it was there, there would be no
right.
reason to have faith.
No issue. Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. So it's like when you see something like that, or then you know, okay, yeah, so this is telling me that I need to have faith in what I know I'm to do. So there are, you know, there are some cards. There are different ways that you can sort of determine what your challenges will be.
Mm-hmm.
And but then there are always ways to say how to navigate it, too. If you look at the Jupiter period
uh-huh.
or your environment card, the environment card, what's in your environment, is always going to be a blessing and a benefit. And so you always want to look there and know, okay, well, this year, no matter how difficult it may be, I can always look to this and know that I'm going to, you know, this is like going to be a blessing to me. Okay.
Hey.
And your Jupiter, the things in your Jupiter would be, that's the way you can make the most money for the year, or what you want to focus on in terms of, that's also a benefit too, but mostly in terms of making money. So there are different ways, and this book actually teaches you some of that, as well as, you know, I'm teaching different things on the call.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I hope that answered your question.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, dear ones, I am out of here, and I will be here next week, same time.
Thank you so much for your sharing.
You're welcome. All right, take care. All right, goodbye.
Bye.